Greetings and welcome to our noon Bible study in the book of John, chapter 8, starting in the very first verse. And we're here at Cross Culture Church, where the pastor is Pastor Woodrow Walker Sr. And what a joy it is to be here, a joy it is to be alive. I love that old saying, it's better to be seen and not viewed. And for some people, that may not be a fun thing to say, but for me, at my age, I love it. All right, just a little bit of humor there before we get started in the Word of God. And so, as we get ready to begin, I want to do a brief overview in John chapter 8. And here is the overview. In chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, we have Jesus dealing with a snare that the Jews have laid for him by bringing him a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. All right. And as we move from verses 12 through 20, we have Jesus dealing with the Jews who are coming against him and trying to bring aggravation and agitation and controversy. Then we see that Jesus is dealing with them again in reference to him being the light of the world in verses 12 through 20. Then he talks about what is the end result of the ruining of the Jews in chapter 21 through 30. He talks about liberty and bondage in verses 31 through 37. And then it talks about, which is one of my favorite sections, about the Father, God the Father, being in relationship to him, and God the Father being in relationship to them. And of course, they really get agitated at this point. Well, then we move on down from verses 48 through 50, and they deal with some blaspheming that goes on. And they are not really understanding what Jesus is saying to them about the Father. But again, we're going to deal with this because they're looking at tradition and they're not looking at things spiritually. Just as Nicodemus came by night to talk with Jesus and got an understanding that is of the flesh is flesh and that is of the spirit is spirit. So that is very, very good discourse here from 48 to 50. And then he talks about what's going on with believers from 51 through 59. So let us move right into the scripture. And as I've given you an overview of chapter 8, all the way down to verse 59, I want to go in and start to deal with it as topical. But of course, we're going to take time since there's a eager group here that may have some questions. We'll deal with the questions as they come. Chapter 1, we're here with the story of the woman that was taken in adultery. They're seeking to trap Jesus to see what he has to say about it. And of course, he has an interesting way of turning things around. All right. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, starting at chapter 1. And early in the morning, he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down, and he taught them. All right, verse 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him. Now think about where they are now. Where are they? They're in the temple. They're in the temple, and Jesus is talking. All right, they see that the people are listening to him, so they say, okay, we're going to set a trap for him. So he bring in a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst. Now, here we're talking about people here trying to get spiritual knowledge. And Jesus is teaching. They're excited because, of course, he's bringing revelation knowledge. So here they bring a woman and sit her right in the midst of the group. So they come in to start trouble. Right? They bring the woman and sit her right in the midst of the group. Now, here he is having Bible study. So they barge in with the woman and put the woman right in the middle. We're talking about disrespecting the teacher, and then they coming in with the story. All right. Master, this woman was taken in adultery. Not only was she taken in adultery, they're not talking about hearsay, right? They said in the very act. So now they done come in on the woman in adultery and take her. All right. And they bring her and sit her in the midst. Verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what saith you? Now, we have to understand, Jesus has already overturned a lot of sacred cows that the Jews already had set up. He already agitated them and made them mad, told them that he was sent from the Father, and he and the Father were one. So they already mad. So they saying, okay, now let's see where your doctrine stands since you said you all of this. So our doctrine says stone them. But what say you? 6. This they said, tempting him, that they might have something to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So he didn't even pay him any attention. So when they continued asking him, they kept on talking to him about it. He lifted up himself and said unto him, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. And so, you know, what does that kind of make reference to in other scriptures? Before you start criticizing your brother, look in your own eye. Before you start doing something, take account of what's going on with you first before you start pointing fingers.
That's right.
Right? But now they done brought it in from the very act. So he said, think about your motive. You know, why would you come in here and set this woman here who's been you said caught right in the act? You know, you want to know what I got to think about it. I want to know which one of you is so pure that y'all can bring her in here without issue. Was that not a good point?
Very good.
Very good point. He said, now can cast that stone at her. Verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they that heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, and the woman being by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing there in the midst. Think about this. Not only did he clear out the Jews and the Pharisees, but when he made that comment, even the people that were there listening to the teaching got up and left. Was that a strong word? Not only did the scribes and Pharisees leave, but the people that had come to the temple that were listening to him teach left. Mm-hmm. Boy, I mean, that was some condemnation there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When people start examining themselves and say, hey, can I throw a rock? Everybody looked in the mirror and said, you know what? I can't blame this woman here because I got issues too.
Yeah.
I got issues too. So everybody left. The people that were being taught, the scribes and the Pharisees, everybody left. All right, so now we got something going now. So just Jesus and the woman left. So Jesus had lifted himself up, or he stood up. He saw none but the woman. And then he said to the woman, where are thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Powerful, huh? So we have to understand in this section right here, it's not enough to be searching around to trying to find somebody with a problem. The main thing to do is to keep ourselves pure and let God lead us and guide us about how we deal with other people. Right?
Right.
You know, because we've all sin and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
So how can we all, any of us can stand in judgment? What we want to do is always show the love of God to all who are in trouble. Right?
Right.
Because if we've been given grace, shouldn't we point others to the one that gives grace, to the one that gives mercy? Because it's not for us to forgive anybody of their sins, but we know who to take them to. Right? Right? The only somebody that we can forgive of aught is ones that we've caused aught to. We can ask them to forgive us, and then we can forgive them for what they did, whether it be big or little against us that we got offended by. Right? But we can't forgive anybody's sin, but we can lead them to the one that does. Right? Yes. Amen. All right. So now we've got Jesus dealing with the beam in our own eye and not always trying to find beams in everybody else's eye. Right? So we've just gone through 1 through 11. Right? All right. So now let's move on. I guess I'm not finding this like I needed to. There we go. Now let's move into verses 12, and we're going to move on. All right. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Where did they get that revelation from? That was a pretty bold statement right there. He's telling them something, and they coming back and said, your record is not true. He just got them a minute ago, didn't he?
Right.
He just got them a minute ago, didn't he? He said, now, you who are so pure and got no sin in their life, throw a stone. They realized that they had sin in their life and they wasn't all that good, so they left out. Now, had he not already dispensed truth?
Right.
And the reason that they were dealing with him in the first place was because what? He had been dispensing what?
Truth.
All right. Say, you bear record of yourself. Thy record is not true. All right. 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record what?
Is
true. For I know whence I came and where I go, but you cannot tell whence I come or whether I go. Now, he had already dealt with them about that once before. He said, I come to do what? The will of the one that sent me. He had already dealt with them time and time again about that, and that's why they were mad. They did not have a spiritual understanding of what he was saying, but he was trying to enlighten them, not only through demonstration by doing the miracles and things that he did and saying the things that convicted them even in their own heart, but here he is again dealing with them saying, look, I'm the light of the world. I'm the one that moves that darkness out of your eyesight, because you can't see. And he was dealing with them again. They said, oh, wait a minute now. And so Jesus, here in 15, now Jesus is the ultimate lawyer, all right, in any case. The second good lawyer that deals with cases is Paul, all right? When we look at how Paul will ask you a question, and then he'll defend what he asked you with the answer all the way down to the end. So now let's look at how Jesus deals with this about his record is true, right? And he know where he come from, but you cannot tell where I come from or where I go. This is how he deals with it. Verse 15, you judge after the flesh.
That's the problem right there.
That's exactly the problem right there. And so he answers it and said, the reason you can't understand what I'm saying is because you judge after the flesh. Right? You don't look at things internally. You look at things externally. You don't look at them from the heart. You look at them from your corrupt eyes. Right? Which are dark. And he's saying, I'm the light of the world. He's, again, here he is trying to deal with them. All right. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. 16. And yet, if I judge, what does he say? My judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father. But I and the Father have sent me. Is that not what he's been saying all the time? He's been saying all the time, I got authority to judge. I got authority to do what I do because I've been sent from the Father, and the Father and I are one. All right. I want us to always keep in mind the one thing that has always stuck with me here for the past couple of years has been that Jesus is God, the Father on display. So if you would pray and say, Father, I need some direction, you can go and look at what Jesus said and did, and there's your direction. Right? Right. If you want to understand how to deal in a relationship, Jesus has given you everything you need to deal with any aspect of life through his teachings and through how he's lived his life. Right? Think about it. So here's the Father saying, to clear up all of the misunderstandings and the questions and all of that, I'm going to appear in the flesh and show you, one, how to live, two, how to talk, three, how to have relationship, and four, which should be really number one, how to draw knowledge from me. Right? And there's only what? One mediator between God and man, and that's the what? The man Christ Jesus. Right? So if you need to hear what the Father's saying, the microphone is Jesus speaking to you. I want us to understand that. So let me move to the right a little bit. Can I do that? Can I move to the right a little bit? When we are ministering to people and we lift up Jesus, what are we really doing? We're bringing them to the Father in a way that they can see and understand him. God wants to deal with everybody, but everybody is not listening. So how do you get their attention? You bring Jesus in, and that's something that gets their attention. If Jesus is lifted up, what happens? He draws men unto him. Right? So when we come in contact with people who are sinners or people who need encouragement or whatever, and we lift up Jesus, does that not draw them in? Right?
Yes.
And so what the Father has to say to them is dispensed when we introduce them not only to Jesus, but what he said, how he said it, and what he did in reference to it. So that's mainly our job. We are to be disciples of Christ, introducing them to the Father. All right. So this is what he's dealing with right here. And let's move on. For I am not alone, he says in verse 16, but I and the Father have sent me. 17. It is also written in your law. What? That the testimony of two men is true. How else do we put that? In the mouth of two or more witnesses, let it be established. Right?
Yes.
So he's saying, look, y'all, not only is my testimony true, we're in John 8. Not only is my testimony true, but one of the key components to it being true is two witnesses. Me and the Father are right here dealing with you guys. Right?
Yes.
All right. 18. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. Now they getting mad here now. All right? You got to love it, boy. This is where he stabs them in the heart. And then they said unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. For if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. They wanted to. Huh? They wanted to. And see, think about it from another way. I'm going to go to the right just a little bit. All right. All of us, before we got saved, based our thinking on what we had learned and what we had heard growing up, whether it was true or false. All right. We either believed what somebody else told us or we believed what we read. It ain't no other two ways about it. Think about it. When you were in elementary school, you got taught things. You went home. You learned things from what you saw and from what you heard at home. If you went out and played and kids said stuff, you either accepted or rejected that as being truth, right? So as we grow up in life, we accumulate a whole lot of information and things that guides our thinking. So when we come to God by way of him drawing us through Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 kicks in, right? If any man or woman be in Christ, they become what? A new creation, which means that those old things, all of those old philosophies and all of that you thought was right, all those things that you had perceived even from being a child or whatever, you saw people say stuff, you know, grandmama said, auntie said, you know, old folks said, old wives' tales and all that stuff. You know, you all you knew was that. And so you base it on that. But when you introduce somebody to Jesus and they are drawn in, a lot of that stuff has to start getting debunked and kicked out. Right. And this is what we have going on right here. They had all of their faith and trust in the patriarchs, right? In the law that they were reading, and the main thing they had was self-righteousness based on tradition. Right? And so what did Jesus have to do? He had to kick all of the sacred cows over. He had to turn over the tables. He had to disrupt everything that they had been thinking, because guess what? They needed to know spiritual things, because all they had prior to that were things of the flesh.
I think they were expecting him to say his Father, bless their Father too. His Father,
You think so?
Well, they said, "Where's your father?"
Okay, now when you go back and look at it, that's an interesting thought. But see, what he said to them was, and he said, "My Father has sent me; I bear witness." And he's been talking about the Father the whole time. That we talking about how he has been dealing with them all the way from the pool. Remember, this is the same group that came to him talking about you healing on the Sabbath. Why are you doing that? And then he rebuked everything and kicked over every sacred cow that they was holding up to try to say, I'm somebody because I keep the Sabbath. I do all these ritual things. He kicked all that stuff over. He said, y'all ain't done none of this stuff you said you supposed to be doing anyway. He said, y'all ain't all that in a bag of chips. And I'm going to show you why. And he did. He kicked over every table, tablet, idea. And he is talking now. And they asking him, they say, well, where is he? They said, look, Jesus said to them, if you'd have known him, then you would know me. Because I'm only saying those things that he tell me to say. Right? So all of the basics that Jesus knew, all of that came from the Father, right? All of the things that you know and knew prior to coming to Jesus was from where?
Our parents.
Our parents. The world. Philosophy. School. Right? And things that people said that we had respect for that we thought was right. Right? See, there could have been ministers that said stuff to you, and you took it for being gospel, but did you go into the Word of God to find out whether it was or not? Huh? Think about how we had, prior to really having the knowledge of salvation to hit us in the head. And I guess I'm going to speak for me because y'all been saved a long time. Yeah, I mean, y'all been saved forever. But I'm saying I had been going to church but had not had a revelation of God.
That's right.
And when I got saved, my eyes opened up and there was a whole lot of stuff I had been taught and had been looking at. It wasn't right at all. Not based upon what I looked at when I read it for myself. And see, my mind may be a little bit different, and I don't mind sharing my testimony. I came up in the Catholic Church. All right, so when you come up in Catholicism, you think that there's a whole lot of mediators out there that you can get to God through. Mary, you can talk through the saints. You know, you can get to God all kind of ways, you know. But then I got saved. And I found out that there was only one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. Mary's name ain't nowhere in that. Now, I'm sure somebody that might be listening to this podcast might get upset, but I challenge you to get into this scripture and find out for yourself. Mary's not going to get no prayers through. I'm just saying. So I want us to understand what he's saying here. All of the stuff that you've known in the past, you got to let that go and let Christ re-deal with your thinking along spiritual lines. And any questions that you got about what you heard prior to salvation, again, we got a plumb line now, which is Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. So now we can bounce whatever thoughts that we have off of what he said, how he stood, right? And his blood. So when we look at it, this is not only dealing with the scribes and Pharisees and what they thought they knew. It's dealing with us about what we think we know. Right? And in the first part of this, he dealt with how you judge. Right? They brought the woman in the midst and they said, what we supposed to do with her? Well, how does that work in the world today? The thing come up on, I got one for you. I know y'all been waiting for this one, right? All right, you're sitting at home, news flash, right? Here's this person. They did blah, 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 blah. What's the first thought that come into your mind?
Guilty.
Come on now, y'all. Let's be honest now. Are we supposed to say everybody's innocent until what?
Proven guilty.
But if it flashed across the thing, right?
It got him.
Oh, man, I know he guilty. We don't know the whole story. We're looking at it from the what? The external. Right? So, what should our view be, even if we see somebody in sin, what should our view be? Should it be stone them? Right?
No.
Huh? Should it be, I need to call a reporter. I need to get be the first one to bring this scoop down. Right? What should we do? We need to check our own thinking, first of all, when we see somebody else that's doing something wrong. After that, then if we have the opportunity to introduce them to the Lord and show them that they have forgiveness. Now, that don't work when we're looking at TV. That don't work when we're listening on the radio. But we can believe God to send laborers across their path, so that they can be forgiven and learn that they have mercy available to them, right? Right. We are not the ones to be talebearers and gossipers and all of that sort of thing, but we're to be prayer warriors. We're to be intercessors. We're to be praying for people who cannot see, that their eyes be open so that they can see, right? Now, I have compassion for alcoholics and drug addicts, right? I do. Because I know through counseling and through my own little marijuana issues and stuff, I understand why they do what they do. So I have compassion for them. I understand they're trying to fill a void in their life with something other than God. I know that they're trying to escape a reality that's not fulfilling to them, but they don't know how Jesus can do it. So that's just me. I have compassion toward that area. So each and every one of you all, even those who are listening to my voice, you all have compassion for certain things. You know where God has brought you from, right? I'm not talking to the ones that have been saved all their life. I'm talking about the ones that had some issues and then God, you know, brought them out.
When he asked who's our father, you know, I thought they were instigating. I thought they could have been instigating too, because when they brought the woman in the church, then they come up with who's our father. They wanted to instigate, you know, because they're rejecting his ministry and they wanted other people on their side. They wanted to put him on the spot, you know, when they're doing all these things, because they really didn't want to turn away from their lives. Because when you remember back in the days, the church, they had all kind of money going on in the church. They were had the gold, the silver, the cows. I mean, they were doing everything. They didn't want to, but they did not want to turn from that life. You know, that was prosperous for them. So they didn't want, you know, to believe what he was saying because they liked what they were doing. I think they just wanted, you know, so they were instigating to try to get other people on their side so they could reject him on the spot, you know. Say, where's your father? We brought the woman in here, that didn't work, so we're going to ask you, where's your father? You know, just putting all these things in front of him.
All right, so did it work?
No, it didn't work with him.
All right, so now let's go into verse 21 and move on, because Jesus is not through with this.
Okay.
All right, he's not through with this at all. Bible scholars like you all are going to love this part. Okay. 21, then Jesus said unto him, I go my way, and you shall seek me, what? And shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. 22. Then said the Jews, carnal thinking.
Yep.
Carnal thinking now. Then the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he said, where he go, you cannot come. So they said, look, you ain't that tough. The only place that you can go that we can't find you is if you die. Because we pretty smart. Huh? We know this whole area around here, right? Here come carnal knowledge. I know about this. You don't know about this. I live here. I can trace my roots back. I know everybody around here. So you think you can go somewhere that I can't find you? I got you. So here they are coming back with the carnal. All right. Now he told them, he said, he gets ready to hit them hard. Y'all ready for this one? And he said unto them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Was that a stinger? That was in your eyes. He explained to him, the reason you're going to die is because you don't have faith. You got everything that you got based on fleshly stuff. Right? On carnal stuff. But I'm getting ready to show you something. Right? He said, look, the way you're talking out of stuff from the ground. Right? I'm trying to tell you stuff from the spirit, which is spiritual, which is above you. Right?
Yes.
And then he told them why they're going to die in their sin. Then 25, then they said unto him, who are you? Good question. Right? Boy, you saying a whole lot of stuff here now. Who are you? And Jesus said unto him, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. In new terms, what it said. You heard what I said the first time. New terms. Did I stutter when I told you who I was? Jesus had attitude, didn't he? He did. He had attitude. He said, now I've been talking to you all the time. Now you're going to ask me, who am I? You didn't get it the first time? How many times I keep trying to explain to you that I was sent from the Father? The Father and I are one. And here you asking me again, who am I? You don't get it? I love it. Same, I'm not changing my tone. I don't need to keep repeating myself. 26, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Again, I'm telling you what I've been told to tell you. I'm bringing you spiritual things because you have been dealing with earthly things. It's time to move on from the past and move into the future. 27. They understood not what he spake unto them of the Father. They didn't know that. Right? Then Jesus said unto him, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that what? I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father have what? Taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is what? Is with me. The Father have not left me alone, for I do always those things that what? That please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed on him.
That's kind of significant. That I used to tell people that it was not the common people that really didn't believe it. It was the ones who should have known.
Right.
Because they, like you were saying, Betty, you finna disrupt our lifestyle.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. Everything means.
No, man. You need to move along. Move along. You need to move along.
And you said some people free, you know.
Now what was the basis of all that y'all just said? Pride.
Pride.
Yeah,
they
didn't want to get them. That group was full of pride.
Yep.
They could always talk about their lineage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm from this tribe, right?
Right.
They wanted the chief seats.
Mm-hmm.
They wore different garments. They looked down on everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so is this not the same thing that we have to avoid?
Yes.
Right.
So when we're looking at this, we have to have a mirror out all the time. All the time. And be careful. You know? Because I have a gift from God doesn't mean that I'm better than anybody else. It just means that I got more responsibility.
Right.
Exactly.
And I got more to be accountable for. That's why I always tell that story about them talents. I'm not the one that got one, but I got to do the same thing that even the one that got a whole lot more than me do. I got to do the basics,
right,
if I'm going to hear well done, right?
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of things I have to be accountable for, and a whole lot of things I have to keep kicking back to the curb myself. And so that means you too, because if you all are disciples, right, we have to keep in focus that we are sent by him, right? If he calls us, he sends us. Is salvation just fire insurance just to keep us from missing hell? No, I'm asking a legitimate question. Does God just need us in heaven to give him some more praise?
No, he doesn't.
No.
I'm just trying to locate us.
He said that I would not be lost. So our mission is to see, as long as we're living on this earth, is to get out and, you know, try to capture those people that he has drawn.
And how easy is that to do? It's very easy.
Might be the person sitting next to you all the time.
Or the person you see in the grocery store.
Yeah.
But think about this. God does not put more on you than you can bear, nor give you assignments that you cannot accomplish. Right? Because
right.
He wouldn't be just to do that. But because he has given you his son, Isn't that easy to give back? Y'all looking at me like that.
He has also given you the helper.
Oh, I was waiting on it, Bible students. We even have power that in our weakness, he still gives us the strength to do what he has called us to do. See, y'all didn't think he was talking about you in here, did you?
You know, I have a question in that, because I used to think, when I first started my job, I used to think, well, I can't get to church, I can't do this, you know, because my schedule back then was really crazy. And I thought, you know, I can't go to church, I can't do this, and like you said, witness it. And then God had just shared with me, you got all these people you deal with every day. You're dealing with more people than at church. 300 people per block sometimes. Your workers. You got all these people. He said, where you are is where you're supposed to be. Witnessing for me. You know, we have enough word in us. And that's what he put in my spirit. We have enough word in us, so we're to take it out. So wherever God has placed you in life, that's where you're supposed to be witnessing. And I was like, you're right, all these people, you know, there's a whole bunch of people out here to be you.
I want to take that one step further. Even if you don't open up your mouth, right, your conversation of lifestyle should be exemplatory, right?
Right.
Of a change in you. It's a way that you walk and a way that you carry yourself that should be a light, right? That will draw people. Even if you never say a word to them, the way that you carry yourself should at least be a light that draw them to say, you know what, it's just something about you. Out of all of these people. And what is that? That's God through you drawing them. So the next words out of your mouth is, it's not about me, it's about the one that's in me. Yes. It's not hard. Yes. Elder?
That's the opportunity. Because like you were saying, what that does is call them to be inquisitive.
Right.
What is this?
Different.
Yeah, what why you don't get disturbed when these things happen?
Right.
Why are you so calm? Why doesn't rock your boat?
Right. And that's usually where it is. Sunday service was so powerful because in that message, I heard that if somebody is talking to you about an area in your life, how you respond to it shows what's in you. I don't know whether y'all got that or not. I did. Because he said, if somebody has some corrective criticism for you, how you take it shows where you are. You don't look at the person who's bringing the corrective criticism. Listen to the criticism. But that's hard if you've not had that mirror up to see you and realize that there are areas in your life that need improvement. Right? So I want us to understand how this is. You know, they thought that they were at a place, but they got rebuked, didn't they? So a lot of times, you know, God has to deal with us. And to me, I look at it as maturing. Because I'm not where I need to be. I'm a long way from where I came. But I'm striving to get to where I ought to be. Right. And so it's sometimes when we looking at things, we have to look at why we looking at it and then how is that going to affect us, right? All right, so let's move on into 31 because this is truth. Everybody said truth.
Truth.
Here it come, 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, huh?
Yes.
Here come truth to those that were believing. Here come revelation knowledge. If you continue in my word, then are you what? My disciples. Indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make, not set, make you free. It's going to make you free. It's going to start a process in you that's going to move you to where you need to be. Right? When truth comes, it's like a I consider it like a bulldozer. You know, there are some areas in there when truth comes, it'll start to move you way past where you were stuck and put you where you need to be. Because now you see where you ought to be going. There's the stumbling block. When truth comes, you go over it. It don't hold you back anymore. Right? All right. And the truth shall make you free. They answered him. Here they go in the flesh. Here we go. See, you got to understand. Every time truth comes, here they come. They come back. Right? And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? They looking at the flesh and not looking at the spirit. Right? All right.
That superiority again. We're Abraham's seed. You know.
We're free by lineage.
Right.
I got privilege that other people don't have.
Right.
I go to cross culture church. You that church you go to don't, you know, y'all don't get all that we got. Hello, somebody. I'm from this group. We don't do this. Y'all do that. We don't do that. We on a higher plane. See, there's some ministries on Porsche. Do we know some higher plane? They over here. Yeah, you saved and everything, but you got a long way to go to get to where we at. Yeah. All right. Here we go. He's getting ready to deal with them. 34. Jesus answered them. Boy, you see verily, verily, you know it's coming, right? He putting a little sauce on it now. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. 36. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed. What he said? I know who you are. I know you can tell me all about this patriarch that you got all this faith and trust in. I know he's the father of the faith. I know because, I'm moving ahead of myself. All right. He said, if the son said you free, you free. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Because my word have what?
No place in you.
You are so stuck on where you are, you don't have room for light. You so steeped in where you are, you can't get it. That's what he's saying. I've said all this stuff to you and you still can't get it. It got no place in you. No, is knowing truth important?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I want y'all to talk to me. Let's talk about truth. Is truth important?
Yes.
Yes.
You can be on a journey and you want to be on 75 South. You want to be on 75 South. When you took that turn, you thought it said 75 South. And you going down the road and going down the road, and the next city that you come to is a northern city and not a southern city.
That actually happened at my job. This guy was trying to go to North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
He ended up in Birmingham.
Oh, wow.
No, in his car.
Oh.
He was going I-20.
Yeah.
He said, I was on I-20.
Wrong one.
Don't take you to North Carolina.
Nowhere near it. Especially if you're going west. Now, if you go east, you're going to get some South Carolina. You keep on going that way. You're going to get out on the edge of South Carolina, but you won't be in North Carolina at all. So again, that is a way to seem right. Huh? There's a lot of things that we're thinking, but unless we got truth, we do not know. So how are we going to know truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the what? And the life. So I keep wanting to put this out here because the truth that we've been given is the truth that we got to share. Because that we have can set people free. It can. And here we are possessing all of this and sometimes not really realizing that the more we get, the more we're responsible to give out. To give out. It's not that we should swell up with all of this information and knowledge. It's when the bag gets full, you need to let it out or else it'll what?
Burst.
It'll burst. But there ain't no sense in sense in it bursting, right? Why let it do that? Why don't we let out a little bit of that truth as we go along during the day, right? Or in the afternoon, or in the evening? Or why can't we, as being Bible believers and Christians, pray that God would allow us to let some of this truth out?
Amen.
It is one of our prayers that we get to speak to somebody that need truth. In the midst of all the praying that we do, the intercessory prayer, right? Praying for the nation, praying for the president, praying for all that. Are we praying that God sends people across our path that we can witness to? Is that one of our prayers? I'm just asking. And I just want us to think about it, because all of this revelation knowledge that you're getting right here now is not so that you can just have it for you, but it's so that you can look at it, digest it, and then give it to those that need it. How many of you all understand destiny? If you don't, I'm going to talk about it. All right. You are not here by accident. It was ordained that you be here today. You who are listening, whenever you get a chance to listen to it, it's ordained that you listen to this when you're listening to it. So that now you are responsible for truth. You're responsible for truth. So can I back it back a little bit? Before today, I'm not saying that you didn't know truth. I'm saying now that you are here today, how much more truth do you know? Right?
Right.
So God has been building line upon line, precept upon precept, a brick or two at a time. And I want you to know that your wall is high enough to jump. It is. You can take a leap of faith because you have enough foundation to do so. This is just extra today. Why did God give you this much extra today? Because there's somebody you're going to come in contact with. It could be within the next 24 hours. It could be within the next month. But you got it on deposit. So when a person comes that need to have it, you have it. Right? I'm going to bag back. The scripture says it's the Holy Spirit that brings back to our remembrance those things that what? He has said. I'm not talking about what you read. I'm talking about what he has said into your spirit today that you now have revelation of. Because how many of you have read scripture, but you didn't get a whole lot of revelation of it? Right? I can't tell you how many times I've read through John. But as I go through John, every time I get something different. I get something better every time I read it. So now think about what you're getting right now. As you leave this place and you think about it, God is giving it to you for a reason, for a purpose, and you're going to need it. Right?
Right.
I'm going to bag back. I love it when he said, when you are brought before people, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't try to figure out what it is, because guess what? You already have what you need on deposit. And all the Spirit is going to do is what? Bring it out. Yeah. Yeah. So as we read this, understand that God is not having you here to come just to participate in a noon Bible study. It's equipping you to do a mighty work for him. I want y'all to think about this word shortly. Shortly. This is not long-term preparation, because the day is short and the time of the Lord is now. How many of you know that? Are you not sensing that the time is short? Are you not looking and seeing that there's so much desperation, hurt, and pain out here? And did I leave out the word deception?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Are people being deceived today?
Oh, yeah.
The Pied Piper is blowing, and the people are just, they just going along, and folks are going, hey, there's a big ditch right there. They just going right along, and they don't see it. And they don't see it.
Oh, I was going to say something about that also, too. It's important that we know the truth, because I find myself being a defender of the gospel. There are so many people, even on my job, they're saying wrong things and people are hearing it. And I just can't let it go away. I have to stop it. Even defender of your Christianity as opposed to other religions, they'll tell you something about your religion to other people that's not true. And then you have to stop it and say, No.
So now you got another sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You got a shield, you know, and when that stuff comes, you can hold up and say, no, not so. Not so. Not so. I know John. Right? All right, well, it's 1:00. I really had good intentions. I was gonna try to get through with it. We're gonna pick back up in verse 38 when we get back. And again, Jesus will be dealing with them. And boy, he's going to hammer them on Abraham and all. And I would love to do it, but we're going to get on past the time. So let us pray and be also thankful for this word that's gone forth. Father, we are just happy and excited about coming into this place and understanding that you are preparing us to be disciples indeed, knowing the truth and being set free. And being able to give that truth to other people so that they can be free. And Father, we thank you that it is not going to return void, but it's going to accomplish that which you please and prosper whereunto it is sent. Oh, what a joy to be in your presence, Lord, and to have revelation knowledge to come forth, knowing that that we got something else to use. Something else is in our arsenal that when you need it, you can pull it out to defeat the enemy. Lord, we just continue to surrender ourselves to you and ask you to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we can be ready to be used under your mighty hand. Now, as we leave this place, we're not from your presence. We ask that you encamp your angels round about us to protect us and take us to our next destination. For we'll be careful to give you alone all of the praise, honor, and glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.